Larry Hardesty, Gordon Damer in for Dan Grasso. 1-800-919-3776. Mini edition of the Dan Grasso Show. We ride with you until the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. Harvey and Joe along for the ride. Then we turn our attention to Knicks-Raptors. Dan Grasso will have your pregame, Pat O'Keefe and Takira Carter on the call. This is a big game for the Knicks, Gordon Damer. This is a team they should beat. This is an opportunity for them to move very close to that third seed in the East.
Well, look, at this point, especially with the coming schedule that they have still to play with things coming down to the nitty-gritty, you got to get the wins you're supposed to get, and the Raptors at 23-49, that is one that you are supposed to get. That's where the Knicks are now, and it's about it's not about the injuries right now. You're hoping that the injured players get back at some point, but the Knicks have shown, even without Julius Randle, even without OG Anunoby, they are one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And so going to Toronto tonight, sometimes a team that can give you trouble, the Knicks have to go out there and make sure that they get this, get the victory and secure this win.
Now, what's interesting is that Mitchell Robinson is – there's a possibility he's available tonight, Gordon. He's questionable. He's warming up. So he may see some minutes tonight. And here's the thing. Are you happy to see Mitchell Robinson back? Yes. It means more options, more depth for you in the front court. But on the other side of it, you're like, he's been gone since December. You know, OG Anunoby has come back and left again. And we haven't seen Julius Randle. And remember, when Mitchell Robinson went out originally, he was the one that most people thought he was done for the year.
Right, yeah. The fact that he's the first one back is probably not a great sign. Now, I think that if the Knicks, if push really came to shove, and this was at the end of the season, I think what they're trying to do with OG is just kind of give him as much time as possible in games that they should be able to win even without him to kind of calm down that injury. But yeah, I don't think it's a great sign for Julius Randle's return that Mitchell Robinson, I don't know how many people had that on their scorecard, that Mitchell Robinson would be returning to the lineup before Julius Randle would be.
No, and, you know, you've been one of the few who have indicated that you're a little concerned we may not see Julius Randle anymore this year. And now, you know, you kind of wonder, Gordon, maybe in hindsight, should he have just had the surgery right away? You know, you understand you want to try to get better. You don't want the surgery. You want to try to heal. You spoke to a couple of folks. But once again, in all the years I've been covering this, Gordon, it's sometimes the injury heals better physically than it does mentally. And the question becomes, does he mentally have the confidence that his shoulder can take the punishment and play the game that he's been so successful in playing, which has not been the mid-range jumper? It's not been focusing on the three. He's been down in the paint punishing people. And in the back of his mind, is he confident he can still play that game? Gordon, I don't think so, because we're not even seeing that he's been cleared for practice yet with contact.
Yeah, it's very nebulous, right? There's not a lot of details. There's not a lot of things set in stone about he's going to do this next week. He's going to do this in a week from now. It just feels like it's a waiting game. And unfortunately, they're kind of running out of time on this season. Now, I would expect at some point that he will be back physically, right? Like, he will play in at least a game because he's a tough dude and he wants to give it a shot. But at this point, with so few games left, the amount of time that he's missed, the injury that he has, and the high recurrence rate, I just don't think that you're ever going to see the Julius Randle that you saw earlier this year the rest of the season. And I do kind of think that there's a good possibility that even with his toughness, that you don't get to see Julius Randle even physically on the court again this year. It just, you're running out of time. There's not a lot of details. The kind of injury it is, and the fact that there's no news, right?
Yeah.
It's just he's out there. He's shooting from time to time, but it doesn't feel like anything's happening anytime soon. Now, who knows? Maybe in a week from now, all of a sudden, much like Mitchell Robinson, right?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't really expect this for him to be active tonight and available to play.
Yep.
Maybe we'll get one of those reports from Woj on Julius Randle. I hope so, because I do think that if he is able to return and actually be on the court physically, I think that there is going to be a period where he's got to shake off the rust. I don't know what that is, but it's probably more than 11 games, that's for sure.
There's no question about that. And you're right, Gordon. Woj is not saying anything. Then nothing's happening.
Right. Whoever Woj said knows. No news is good news did not know Woj, right?
No.
You want Woj to give you some updates and give you some details.
Even if it's bad news, I want to know.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Rather know the details, even if it is bad news, right?
Yeah, this not knowing is driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Dan Grosser will have some more information at the top of the hour with the Knicks-Raptors pregame. He'll let you know whether Mitchell Robinson is going to be available tonight, warming up in pregame warmups. Gordon Damer, can I be honest with you?
Yeah, I hope so.
The 6:30 show is a challenge for me.
Okay.
And the reason why it's a challenge is tonight, Jeanette made brownies.
Uh-oh.
With dinner. Uh-huh. And I had a couple of brownies, and they are so good.
They're delicious,
oh my
right?
God, they're so good. So I'll be on the sugar high now.
After you're going to crash
don't
later?
Don't know. Not sure about after the game, Gordon.
Right. Well, just have another. Look,
have another
gotta,
one right
you
got
to do it for the show. You got to get it back up there, right? You got to get that sugar level back up there. So,
hey, so Gordon, like, have another brownie. As soon as Harvey texts and says, okay, post-game at 10:22, at 10:21, Larry, have a brownie.
If Jeanette gives you a hard time, tell her that I gave you permission to have another brownie. I need you, right? I need you at full strength.
Plus, we have another region. We have some updates on some regions now. Movement on the greatest of all time brackets.
Yes.
We've got on ESPN New York tonight. And last, I'm sure, I can't wait to hear the results from last night. And I'm looking forward to some movement as we whittle down to find out who is the greatest of all time.
Yeah, our final region reveal was yesterday. You, and I think other people also agree that this has been the most difficult, the most challenging bracket so far. This is the toughest road. This is the group of death, so to speak.
Yeah, it was.
And the voting is still open. The voting is still open for another 3 hours. So if you've not voted already, please, you can go to my Twitter. You can go to Larry's Twitter. You can go to the station Twitter. And vote. Still some contests that are going right down to the wire, Larry.
I mean, this is one of the few brackets where you will have Whitney Houston and Ric Flair.
What other show is giving you Ric Flair against Whitney Houston?
I mean, that's just it's unbelievable. And this is one of the few, Gordon. This is one of the few brackets, I think, anywhere that has Kobe beating LeBron.
Well, it's in the hands of the listener, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's at the end of the day, the listener can and the callers can criticize us for the seeding or who's in or who's out. Once we give birth to it, it's in the hands of the listener to decide who's in and who's out. So,
yep.
If you don't vote, you don't get to complain. So
that's
go
right.
Vote.
And early and often, and you have a couple more hours to vote to see before we unveil where people are moving. The new brackets for regions are coming up.
That's right. It's only going to get more difficult, Larry.
Oh, yes, it is. That's after the Knicks and Raptors in this edition of ESPN New York Tonight here on 98.7 ESPN. Tell you what, Gordon, we'll take a phone call and see what's going on. I want to see what Spike's thinking about for this game tonight. Let's see what he's got cooking in St. Petersburg.
Hey, boys, Larry. Just between you and me, get closer to the phone. Have another brownie. Have another brownie.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sure. You say that now, and then when I go to the doctor, I'll be eating, you know, straw.
Right. My sugar fix is Lindor truffles, dark chocolate.
Oh, my God.
I mean, no, I know.
Expensive taste, Spike. Expensive.
I see buy one, get one free, man. I come back with 20 bags. but I only have one a day. So, look, is Jacob Poeltl playing tonight for the Raptors? Do we know that or not?
I'm not sure, but Dan will have an update at the top of the hour.
I know Alec Burks is out again tonight. I don't know if that changes anything for any of you.
I got no problem with Burks and Bogey. I knew Bogey would do something. They just got to play good in one playoff game. That's all we're looking for. You know, I saw today J.J. Redick and Legler, two of the all-time great three-point shooters, really, top 30. They did a piece about 7 minutes long. If you didn't see it, try and pick it up before the game. About how great McBride's been, how great Hart's been. See, we all know this, but when you have a year with five guys having career years And Legler said, you know, only Hart and McBride are playing over 40 minutes a game in the whole league. It's just been wonderful. I'm just worried about Mitch. He'll probably be the first guy off the bench for Hartenstein. But if you can get it at the point before the playoffs where Hartenstein's giving you 29 or 31 and Robinson's giving you the rest of it, that's going to be fine for both of them. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do, Spike. Thanks for the phone call. And it would be interesting to see Gordon, because I know that the Knicks will be facing Wimbanyama on this trip when they hit San Antonio. So I think they want a little bit more size. So if Mitchell Robinson doesn't play tonight, I'm sure he'll get some minutes in that game against San Antonio on this road trip.
Yeah, right. You need as many bodies as you can throw at that guy. So he's a freak of nature.
Oh,
right?
I mean, he's getting better every game.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take you a lot. You know, sometimes when guys get drafted early on, the early returns, it's going to take a little while. You can see, I'm not saying he's a finished product by any means, but you can see those flash plays every once in a while, a play that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, a crazy block, brings it, dribbles it down the court, and he hits a three. I mean, he's wild. He is fun to watch.
He is. Opening day baseball tomorrow, Gordon Damer, but not for me. We'll explain next on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Dame, I've been waiting all spring training. I've been waiting for this day. I've been waiting for opening day. What was that? I remember going to the ballpark, and Dave Sims, who is now the voice of the Seattle Mariners, I remember going to the ballpark, and opening at Yankee Stadium, covering the Yankees, and he said, "Larry, my friend, all is right with the world. It's opening day of baseball. This is the way life is supposed to be." And so, Gordon, I'm waiting. I want to see what the team looks like. I want to see, you know, I'm anxious. All eyes on Starling Marte in right field. You know, I want to see. You know, I got my guy, Pete Alonso, in the contract year. I'm hoping that he has the type of year that your guy, Aaron Judge, had. Mm-hmm. I would love to have a year like that in the walk year for him to make Steve Cohen spend some of that money. And I'm looking for Francisco Lindor. I want to see what the trumpets. I want to hear Edwin Diaz after not hearing any trumpets last year, only to find out that because of the possibility of rain, I got to wait another day.
All good things come to those who wait, Larry. You have to wait an extra day. So the Mets punting on the season and punting on opening day even. Look at that. Hopefully it actually rains tomorrow. We've had some of these where they cancel it ahead of time, and then it's a beautiful day the following day.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not going to be the case. Not that I want it to rain, but you know what I'm saying.
I absolutely do.
This is the time for optimism. Optimism on opening day go together, right?
And, absolutely.
I don't know how optimistic Met fans will be over the course of the season, but it's disappointing that I don't understand with all the technology we have, Larry, with all the new things and improvements we've made to our lives, where everything is at the touch of a – why wouldn't you open up all the teams either in domes – or in warm weather cities, not in the Northeast? Why do we go through this every single year? Larry, I am not smart. I am not a smart person. But I have figured this out. Anybody could figure this out. Why can baseball not figure this out?
I don't know. Now, if the networks gave a bonus for no rainouts on opening day for teams in the East.
We're going to give you an extra 15 cents. Oh, my God. It'd be on top of it.
Everybody be on the West Coast. Yep. All the East teams would be on the West Coast or in Arizona. That's the way it would be.
Or in dome cities. And I know people, I'm sure we'll get the calls. Oh, the Mets should have thrown a dome on that. A dome, a retractable dome, is like $800 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not telling you that Steve Cohen doesn't have it, but Citi Field was not built when Steve Cohen owned the team.
Right.
And I don't know the, as again, I'm not a smart person. I don't know the construction demands of just slapping. I think it's a little bit more difficult than people are letting on that you would mm-hmm. have construction for years on end putting a retractable roof on a stadium that's already built.
Absolutely. And plus, for that money, I'd rather you give me some players.
Yeah. Take that. You're going to need that $800 million to re-sign Pete Alonso.
Yeah, at least. And maybe Juan Soto.
Yep.
Just in case. You never mm-hmm. know.
Would you rather have Juan Soto or a retractable roof?
Juan Soto.
There you go.
And twice on Sunday.
I love it when people say, well, MetLife should have a retractable roof. They don't play that many games there.
No. No.
At least baseball, there's, you know, you're going to get some rainouts. Football, that's part of the deal. That's the what playing in the elements in the Northeast, that's supposed to be part of the strengths.
That's it. That's the allure of the game, Gordon Damon. Mm-hmm. The allure. Yankees were busy today, huh?
Yeah, making a little deal, right?
Yeah. John Birdie from the Marlins, three-way trade that sends catcher Ben Rortfit to the Rays and outfield prospect John Cruz to Miami. Birdie can play third base, second base, and shortstop, plus has experience in all three outfield spots, hit .294 last season. With a 748 OS, 16 steals, and 133 games.
Okay. I'm surprised he's at old. He didn't get to the majors until he was 28. I know he's been around here for the last couple of years. I was surprised mm-hmm. he was as old as he is. Oh, look, he's a nice, safe option who can play a variety of positions. And given the Yankees' health conditions here over the past few years,
they
could use somebody who will give you league average production. He's not going to be a great bat. He's not going to be – he'll steal a base every once in a while. But he's a versatile player that, at his best, he's kind of a league average player. To me, the highlight of the deal is they finally got rid of that guy, Ben Rorvit, because that guy can't hit a lick. That guy is tough. I've seen bad catchers with the Yankees in my time. Joel Skinner is the touchstone for bad hitting Yankee catchers. Ben Rorvit made Joel Skinner look like he was Robin Yount. I mean, it was night and day, so... It was a rough watch with Ben Rorvit.
But I will say this, just from the outside, and Gordon, you're the Yankee fan, you'll be able to correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, it looks as though the Yankee bench is better than it's been the past couple of seasons. Where you at least have some
legitimate major league players. That's the key. But let's see. Everybody's got a plan until they get hit, Larry.
Yeah, that's true.
And last year, the Yankees had a plan, and they got hit, and then they had to, because here's the deal, and it really only comes down to one guy. It comes down to Brian Cashman.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Cashman, for all the criticism of Hal that he should be spending more money, okay, fine, but he's spending a lot of money. Unfortunately, Brian Cashman's not spending it in a very efficient way.
No.
And he's spending right up to the line on big pieces so that when big pieces go down or other pieces go down, they have to pick things up off the scrap heap.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the scrap heap players are playing regular roles in left field, or Willie Calhoun was playing on a regular basis last year.
Ooh.
And Jake Bowers, or a couple of years ago, Rougned Odor, when they picked him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
These are not like legitimate pieces that you can rely on. And a lot of times the Yankee injury situation is such, these guys are hitting in the heart of the order.
Yeah, I know. Hit cleanup.
Willie Calhoun last year was batting cleanup. Jake Bowers, man, hitting fifth. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this is... And at the end of the day, like when a game happens and something happens in a game, you can never just blame one player, right? Because there's so many things that happen in the course of the game. With the Yankees, when things go wrong with the roster, there is one person to blame. It's Brian Cashman.
Yep, you're right. No question about it. But I will say this. He's done – you have some credible people. The depth is better on this team. And, I mean, Gordon, that's the way it's been. I mean, that's the way the Yankees have been. You go back to these championship teams. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You got Cecil Fielder and Darryl Strawberry.
Oh,
and
I saw it the other day. I saw clips of Darryl Strawberry against the Orioles in the playoffs hitting two home runs. Right. He was a bench piece. Tim Raines coming off the bench. I mean, it's night and day from where we have been. So, look, this year it does seem like they have some better pieces, like a guy like Trent Grisham, who's going to primarily be a defensive replacement. He's a legitimate major league player. He's not a great bat all the time. His splits are pretty severe, but it does seem like they've done a little bit of a better job. But I think that that's mostly because last year was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what the injuries look like this year.
Yeah.
If they get as injured as they did last year, it's probably going to get ugly again.
Well, listen, as a Met fan, we've seen ugly. I mean, we had a lineup with John Mayberry hitting cleanup,
right.
You know, before they made the deal for Cespedes right. and brought in some other folks. So mm-hmm. believe me, you're speaking to the choir here, my friend. We've seen some tough lineups where you're not getting any run support whatsoever. And even when you had decent lineups, I mean, Gordon, we're sitting here talking about, you know what, Jacob deGrom needed to be the DH because he was the only one pitching, shutting right. people out, and scoring runs too. He was doing both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's hope that the injury bug is not as big an issue as it has been the last few years. Chances, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that.
No.
Opening day is the time for optimism. So
absolutely.
Let's say that this is the year the Yankees are going to be far healthier mm-hmm. than they've been in a very long time. And hopefully that means that Gerrit Cole is back before too long.
And get the injuries out of the way now. Get them out of the way now. Get them out of the way early.
Well, I think what we should do is before maybe on the second half of our show,
mm-hmm.
we will all pick a time frame. For how mm-hmm. long will the Yankees go in between games where they don't have any injuries? How long of a string of games can they play mm-hmm. without anybody going to the injured list?
Wow. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. Got to do
for the entire season. What's the over-under for the entire season?
Oh, I'm not very confident.
Week? Can we go a week?
I got 10 days, my friend.
Yeah.
I got 10 games.
That's a lot. You're really going out there. That's a stretch.
Listen. You know, especially with DJ, you don't know what's happening with mm-hmm. him, and
they got a lot of age.
Yeah, you do, and Stanton is you just don't know. I mean, he's due to have a year.
Unfortunately, you do.
No,
know.
He's due to have a year where he could at least give you 110, 115 games. He's due
115 games from Stanton.
He's due. He's due to have a year where you could get that. He's due.
He might do.
I asked Joe Leo. I think it was Sunday. I asked him right now. Giancarlo Stanton,
mm-hmm.
110 games, 25 homers, 75 RBIs. Would you take that right
done.
Now?
Done. You wouldn't even have the words out of your mouth, and I would be hitting the button.
Yeah, that's
pounding that button.
That's when I said 70. He said done. I even get to the five. You know, because that's the way things are. So you know, I get it. It should be an interesting baseball season, my friend. That's
well, look,
sure.
The Yankees are very interesting because it could be really good
mm-hmm.
or it could be really bad.
Yeah.
I think that there's a wide range of outcomes when it comes mm-hmm. to the New York Yankees, and we're all going to find out together.
Yeah, we sure will.